And Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church, the firstborn from the dead. Notice, not Mary. Who's the firstborn? Jesus. That in all things he may have preeminence first. For it pleased the Father that in Jesus Christ all the fullness should dwell in him. Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. We're glad you've joined us for an ongoing series exploring how to cultivate a healthy, God-honoring home life for your family. Today, Roel will remind you that first and foremost, you're a member of Jesus' family, an heir of heaven, and a recipient of grace. Stay with us here on Somebody Loves You Radio for encouragement to serve as a living example of faith for your loved ones, daily pointing them back to Christ's life-changing love. Here's Roel Reese in Matthew chapter 12, verse 46.
The title of my message this morning will be Spiritual Family of Christ. His spiritual family that is there. And what's really amazing about that is that the family can be a subtle and powerful opposition. I don't know if you know that or not, but I remember when I first accepted Christ, I was the first Christian in my family. My family was Catholic, and I remember accepting Christ and then coming and sharing with them concerning salvation by faith in Jesus Christ, and began to share the stories of the Bible, and they became very oppressive against me and very defensive. They really didn't want to hear it. I remember when I first came to my father and I told him that I had repented and accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and he really just went off the handle, and so my mom too, and you know, my brother, my sisters, and my whole family, my grandparents. But I can remember how our family was kind of broken up when I came to Christ, and then my brother came to Christ, my sisters came to Christ. Later on, my father came to Christ, my mother came to Christ, and then all of my friends came to Christ. And I can remember when I first got saved, I didn't go around preaching to everybody, but the Lord laid on my heart as I was going to Calvary Chapel, learning the Word of God, to buy a notebook. And what I did with this notebook, I began to write people's names that I loved and that I wanted to see saved, and put their names and the date that I began to pray for them, and through prayer, coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But never wasting my time, but always sharing my faith when people ask me what I believed. And if you're going to share your faith with someone, then you need to study what you really want to tell those people, because you first of all have to believe it yourself in order for people to believe it through you. And the greatest miracle that God does in Christianity is that a person becomes born again of the Holy Spirit. Regeneration. We are regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. Nobody in here, not including myself, have ever converted anybody. Nobody. It's the Holy Spirit, the one that leads us and guides us to do that. Now here is Jesus coming to the end of the 12th chapter of Matthew after he's been dealing with religion, all of the religious people in his time. And in verse 46, we see the first observation, let me read it to you, where his family comes. And while he was still talking to the multitudes of people, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with Jesus, just like anybody else. And then one of the persons said to Jesus, "Hey, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you." He was trying to make a big deal. "Hey, your mother's outside. Quit talking to these people, and you better go outside. Your mother's outside." Of course, we have to respect our mothers. We have to respect our fathers. But when Jesus heard that, Immediately, he responds in verse 48 and 49. And he gives us the second observation, which is a question and an answer given to what this man said. But Jesus answered and said to the one who told him, he said, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" You see, he's raising the question, who is that? And then he stretched out his hand towards the disciples and he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers." Who's that? Those that do the will of God. Those that obey God. That's his mother. That's his brothers. He turned to his disciples. And then he said this in the third observation. Here is a solution in verse 50. "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is who? Is my brother, my sister, and my mother." That covers everybody. You have to do the will of the Father. And what was the will of the Father? To send his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. 100% God and 100% human, to die on a cross and then 3 days later to rise again from the dead to give us not only forgiveness of sins, but a future hope in Jesus Christ when we die to be in heaven. Now it's important for me and for you to understand that Mary was the mother of Jesus, but she was never to be worshipped, ever. And the way this comes about is I want to talk to you about seven important points on the importance and the value of Scripture concerning Christ. Number one, when he was born, no male, no human male had intercourse with Mary. It was the Holy Spirit. And if you were living in that time in the Old Testament, well, you'll see in a moment when I read the Scripture. If you were a young girl, 16 years old, 17 years old, 18 years old, and you got pregnant by your boyfriend, guess what would happen? Both of you would be dead. They didn't put up with it. So this is why Joseph was so concerned when he heard that she was pregnant. Let's read it. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, he starts. He says, "Now the virgin birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child by the Holy Spirit." Imagine that. Now, in the Old Testament, in the old days, marriages were arranged by parents. The parents said who you're going to marry, whether you liked it or not. And so here is Joseph that was chosen to be husband to Mary, and they're dating, and they've known each other a long time, and all of a sudden, Joseph said, "Hey, what's up? You're pregnant. Check this out." He heard him. In verse 19, "And then Joseph, her husband-to-be, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly." He wanted to go into hiding. "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And what did he say to him? Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary to be your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." Notice that. The Scripture always backs up the Word of God. God sent the warning. God sent the answer to the problem. This is not natural. This is supernatural. This is God incarnate coming to the world. Verse 21. "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will be the Savior of the world. He will save the people from their sins." Notice his mission. His mission is to be the Savior of the world. Not Mary, Jesus. He's the one that is going to die. He's the one that is going to bleed. He's the one that will become the Redeemer. Mary is not a co-redeemer with Christ. She's not, I'm sorry. The Bible doesn't teach that. Verse 22, "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying," so he's saying this goes back to the prophet Micah, Isaiah, in the Old Testament 500 to 700 years ago. "Behold, The virgin shall be with a child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. And then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took to him his wife, and did not know her sexually until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. He never touched her sexually until she had Jesus. Then they got married, and they had natural sexual intercourse together, as a husband and wife do. But it was not until after Christ was born. Secondly, how about the pre-existence of Christ? In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. No, that's what the Jehovah's Witnesses say. They add the prefix a. No, in the beginning was the Word, Logos, Jesus, and the Word was with God, Jesus, and Jesus was God. You see? And he was in the beginning with God, Jesus. All things were made through Jesus, and without Jesus, nothing was made that was made. In Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. So it's beautiful how the scriptures are written for our example so that we're not confused, but we have the answers to those things that we're thinking about through the Bible, teaching God's word. We learn so you can defend your faith. You see?
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Roel Reese. We're here to help you grow in faith and in relationship with Christ. Visit us at SomebodyLovesYou.com for Bible-rich resources. You can also download our app for digital Bible studies and live-streamed teaching. Now let's rejoin Roel once again.
Now thirdly, we see the person of Jesus Christ. In the book of Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18, we have Jesus going to Jerusalem, and they're up in the actual Sea of Galilee. They're heading up north, and they're going up to Caesarea Philippi. We'll be there in a couple of weeks with our people that are going to Israel with us, apart from the Sea of Galilee. You get up there, and Mount Hermon's behind, but when you get up to the city of Caesarea Philippi, right before Banias, there, the actual falls of water, you come into Caesarea Philippi, and there's this huge mountain of rock with a big cave and a stream running out of it. And I always like to park there and get off the bus and then take the people over to the side. And to explain to them that up on top of that mountain, overlooking this cave, this is where the Greeks used to worship the god Pan. They used to worship him there. But this is also the place where Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem to the cross, is where all of his disciples, including Judas Iscariot, was with him. And Jesus asked a very important question. Let's read it, what he says, beginning with verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He wanted to hear it. Who do people think that I am? And so they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Others say you're Elijah. Others say you're even Jeremiah. And others are saying you're one of the prophets. But then he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Now it's personal. I don't care what the world thinks. Who do you say that I am? So you see, it turns personal now. He could care less what people think about Jesus Christ. What he's concerned about is individuality. Who do you think I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Messiah. You're the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. And Jesus was blown away, and he answered and said to Peter, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Peter, you've had a supernatural revelation. Imagine that. People cannot become Christians unless what? We are born again of the Holy Spirit. It has to be supernatural. By faith in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you can't be a Christian. In verse 18, he said, "And also I say to you that you are Peter, Petros, which means a little stone, a little pebble. And on this rock," underline the word rock there, and the word is Petros. That is, Jesus is looking at this massive, massive mountain of rock. He says, "That's me." And Peter, this is you. That's who you are. Why? Because the Catholic Church says that Peter was the first pope. Where does it say that? Peter was married. That's against Catholic doctrine. He had a wife. He goes on. Because here he's telling him what he's going to do. He says, "Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." What is that? Through prayer, we can bind and we can actually unloose through prayer. "Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell nobody that he was the Messiah, the anointed one of Christ." Not yet. Hold on until I get to Jerusalem. Don't tell anybody. Keep it quiet. So Peter was never the first pope. And yet Jesus Christ said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Peter was the leader to the what? To the church, the first century church. He was chosen to be the leader, not the pope. To be the leader. On the day of Pentecost, he was there. When the Holy Spirit came, Mary and James and Jude were all there. What did Peter do? He stood up and he began to give an exegesis or an explanation to the scriptures what the event took place, explaining biblically how God in the book of Joel had said this is going to happen. The Holy Spirit will come, empower the church, and they'll become evangelizers, and they'll evangelize the world to the Holy Spirit. You see? That's the way the Bible leads. Now, thirdly, Jesus, in the book of Philippians, he is there in his full humility as a servant. Check this out. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. He says, Paul the apostle, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." You see? Jesus came to become what? The servant of all servants by going to the cross to redeem the world. That's why he came. He didn't come to become famous. He came as a servant. And we serve him as servants. And then all of a sudden, Paul the apostle in Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 19, he speaks of his preeminence. Listen to what he says. "He is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." The word firstborn in Greek there is first in order. First in order. "For by Jesus Christ all things were created." He makes him creator. Notice that. "That are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible, invisible, where the thrones, dominion, principalities, powers," that is the devil and his demons, "and all of the good angels, seraphim, cherubims." Notice that. "All things were created through Jesus Christ and for him. And Jesus Christ is before all things, and in Jesus Christ all things consist." In the Greek it means this: everything is held by Jesus Christ in this world. Everything materially. When he lets go, man, it's done. Verse 18, "And Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead." Notice, not Mary. Who's the firstborn? Jesus. Who's the head? Jesus. "That in all things he may have preeminence first." Notice, "For it pleased the Father that in Jesus Christ all the fullness should dwell in him." Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then six, how about his supremacy, the book of Hebrews. In chapter 1 of Hebrews, verse 1, God, who at various times in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets from the Old Testament, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, Jesus, who he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory, in the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, Jesus Christ, Redeemer, Savior of the world. Jesus Christ. And then one more thing, his incarnation that we have in the book of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, we have looked upon steadfastly, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. He was 100% flesh, 100% God. The life was manifested, we have seen it, and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was in the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Notice that. His Son, Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus said, who's my mother? Who's my brothers? Tell me, who is he? Those that do the will of God. That's why in the book of Acts 4:12 he says this. Check this out. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by where we must be saved.
We hope you've been uplifted by today's reminder that as a Christian, you have a forever home with Jesus. When you make him the cornerstone of your life, he'll infuse his hope, strength, and peace into all that goes on in your home. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's lesson was titled The True Family of Christ. To get an unedited version, just call us at 800-634-9165, and for a donation of $5 or more, we'll send one to you. Now, to support the spiritual guidance of your children, we'd like to offer you a new book from Raul and his late wife, Sharon. It's titled Raising a God-Fearing Family in an Ungodly World. It's a resource that will equip you with biblical direction and practical encouragement as you learn from the Reese's personal experience in parenting three sons. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to order the inspiring new book, Raising a God-Fearing Family in an Ungodly World. We'll send your copy for a gift of $12 plus shipping and handling. That's 800-634-9165. Or you can write to us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Make the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel your go-to for biblical teaching, including Straight Talk with Raul. Join him on the channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time. Podcasts of all of our radio programs are also available on this YouTube channel, or you can look for us on iTunes and Spotify. Your partnership enables us to keep sharing the Bible's wisdom, and we're grateful for every tax-deductible gift. Next time on Somebody Loves Your Radio, we'll continue our focus on the spiritual care and nurture of your family. You'll discover more of the impact your own personal relationship with the Lord can have on your kids as you daily live out an authentic faith. Now, with the closing comment, here's Raul.
And then Paul the Apostle, in the book of 1 Timothy 2:5, he says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, not Mary." Jesus is the bridge builder. To get to God, you got to go through Jesus Christ. If you go any other way, you'll never get there, only for judgment. That's why Jesus said, "I am the only way, I am the only truth, and I am the only life." And that's why we have to be what? Be born again of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way to get to heaven. Otherwise, there's this other place called hell, where people will spend eternity because they did not come to the cross of Jesus Christ. And they did not receive him by faith, but put their trust in other things, like gold and silver and wood and hay and stubble and other gods that are no gods. That's why it's important to really know in your heart and to have peace with God that Jesus Christ is my King and my Lord. He is the Savior of the world. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. And there is no other name. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of lords and King of kings.
I am falling in love.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.